morning we have chosen a text that, part of it was in your reading this morning. So, actually, you don't know where you're going, do you? So I like those kind of mornings where you don't know where you're going. That makes all of us don't know where we're going. Now, when I start a message, I never know where I'm going to go. Exactly. But praise the Lord, God knows. And we're glad for the working of the Holy Spirit and how that He directs us and guides us if we allow Him to do that. So this morning we're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3. Tremendous portion of Scripture, but it actually follows some other important Scriptures that lead up to that point. And let's pray before we get going this morning. Lord, we're grateful for Your Word. We just pray that You'll guide us this morning as Your people, Lord, to understand more about You and who we are and how much we need You each and every day. We thank You for salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, because without Jesus, we'd be lost and undone without hope today. But with Jesus, God, great things are possible in all of our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that You will help us to better appreciate what You've done and how You've shown us Your truth so we might come to that truth and walk in the light that You give us. God, we just praise You for Your grace and goodness to us each day, for Your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to confess our sins quickly, even as David of old confessed his and was forgiven. God, help us to have a heart like he had, a heart after You. A heart that desires to be more and more of what You'd want us to be. We thank You for the blessing of having Your complete Word today, though. The privilege of having the guidance of Your Word and Your Spirit to lead us and guide us and to teach us more of what You want us to be. Guide us this morning, Lord, we pray. Give us, Your people, ears to hear Your Word, to heed it, and to do it. We ask all this and pray it in Christ's name. Amen. As the Apostle Paul, and this is leading into what we have to say this morning, as the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, he wants them to know about God's goodness and grace, and he also wants them to know who we are, because we've got to know who we are before we can appreciate and receive the grace that God has for each one of us. And so he begins the book, and as he begins the book in chapter 1, he shows very clearly that all Gentiles are lost and undone, that they need a Savior. All have sinned, he shows them very clearly. In fact, he names some very great sins that were things that they ordinarily practiced in their lives, and he shows how much they need a God and a Savior. And I suppose at that point, all the Jewish listeners to Paul would have said, amen, brother, preach on. But you know, before you get to saying too many amens, he comes around to the Jews as well. And he shows them that they were without excuse as well. They had not kept the law which God had given them. In fact, they were a very blessed people, weren't they? To have the oracles of God presented to them, the Old Testament Word of God. And in fact, the first five books of the Book of the Law, which was given to God's people, was to guide them and point them and show them how much they needed a Lord and Savior in their lives. But they thought, and many maintained, that they could keep those laws and therefore earn or merit their salvation. They also looked back to their forefathers, and in particular Abraham. They said, oh, yeah, we have Abraham, we are of his seed. We're God's children by birth. But you know what? They had the wrong birth. In fact, Nicodemus, as you may recall, came to Jesus at night. And he talked to Nicodemus how that he must be born again. And like the Israelites many times, they were still thinking in the physical and material realm instead of the spiritual realm. And so Nicodemus says, how can I be born again? You know, I'm bigger than my mama. Well, you've got to be born of the water. You also got to be born of the Spirit. Two births are necessary to enter into heaven. And so Jesus explained to Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the law, how he needed to trust Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. He had to be born again. It was not good enough just to be born of the seed of Abraham. You had to have faith in God, to trust Him, even as Abram of old believed God, and God imputed that to him for righteousness. Even so, now would, in the book of Romans, Paul show that all needed to have faith in the Lord to be saved. It was not by keeping some law or some way, but rather it was not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His blood He saves us. Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior, came into the world. And so Paul, I like the way he sneaks up on him. You know, I call it sneaking up on him. To get a person saved, you've got to do this. You've got to get them lost. Before a person will come to the point where they will accept Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, they've got to realize they're lost and undone. There's no way out on their own. They've got to trust the Lord by faith and faith alone. It's not what we can do, but it's rather what He has done for us that makes the difference. And so that's where Paul brought all of them. And so in the book of Romans, he concludes, beginning in verse number 9, and he says this to those Jewish people who were at Rome. He says this, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise." Now remember, he's talking to the Jewish people there. Now, they had the law and the prophets, didn't they? They had all those blessed oracles of God, God's teaching to them. He says, "Are we better?" He says, "No, we're no better than the Gentiles. For we have before proved," notice this, "we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles, they're all under sin, as it is written." Now, if you're going to get through to a Jew, you've got to go back to the Old Testament Word of God. Because those are the things that they maintain. And so what does Paul do? He goes right back there. And he quotes out of both the book of Psalms and out of the book of Isaiah. And he says this from Psalm 14. "There is none righteous, no, not one." Now, that's narrowing it down pretty far, isn't it? Nobody's righteous. God's word declared none of us are righteous before God. And in fact, we can't come before His presence without righteousness. That's why Christ gave us His robes of righteousness. So that when God looks upon us, He sees not us in our unrighteous state, but rather He sees us as righteous, clothed in the righteous robes of Jesus Christ. His righteousness has been imputed, the scripture says, to us. Wow. What an exchange has taken place here. We've taken off our old filthy, unrighteous stuff. We now put on His new, blessed, cleanless, spotless righteousness upon ourselves. And so when God looks upon us, He sees not Harvey. He doesn't see Warren or Joe. Rather, He looks at us as clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Isn't that great? Otherwise, He couldn't look upon us. The only thing He could hear from us is this: our confession of our sin and acceptance of Christ as Savior. People, we're blessed if we have Christ in our heart. If we've received Him. Because it's not by our works of righteousness that we can get there. It's rather because of the righteousness of Christ that He gives to us and puts upon us, so that now the Heavenly Father can look upon us and smile down upon us and bless us. because we have that righteousness that will allow us to get close to God. Praise the Lord. We were once far and estranged away from God. We were separated as far as the east is from the west, as deep as the depths of the sea. But now we're brought close by the blood of Christ. His blood cleansed us from all our sin. The old song says, "What can wash away my sin?" And the refrain is, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You see, in the book of Hebrews, it goes to great lengths to show to those Hebrew people of old, right? That it was not by the blood of bulls and goats and those sacrifices. They couldn't take away the sin. They simply rolled it forward. Their sins were looking to that one perfect sacrifice that God would eventually offer through His Son, Jesus Christ. For He was offered once for all. Then it stopped. Didn't have to have another sacrifice. When you've got a perfect sacrifice, you don't need another one. Amen? And we've got that in Jesus Christ. He has supplied Himself a sacrifice for us. Isn't it good to know that He's not only a sacrifice, He's the mediator as well? He's the one that intercedes between us and God. He's the one that stands in the middle. He's the one that knows where we're at. He also knows where the Heavenly Father's at. And He can bring us together, reconciling us together in Himself, by Himself. Nothing else is needed. And so Paul brings it down here to show them, hey, there's no difference in humanity. And that's the title of the message. No difference in humanity. It doesn't matter whether we're Jew or Gentile. And in fact, God's Word describes this in one of those two terms. Either you're a Jew or you're not a Jew. Right?
Right.
But the Bible has concluded, in fact, the apostle has proved in these scriptures previous to this, that all are sinners. All have come short of God's glory and His grace. There's no difference in humanity. No difference in the fact, first of all, of universal guilt. All are equally guilty before God. In fact, if Paul wanted to really get down to it, he could say that you Jews are more guilty than those who don't have the law. If you really want to get down to it. Why? Because they had guides and teachers in God's Word that would point them to their need of a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's right out of their Old Testament scriptures. It should point them to their need of a Savior, to the one who would come and take away our sin. You see, those Old Testament sacrifices, the bulls and the goats, and most of us would bring the pigeons and turtle doves. You see, God has a means for every person, had means for any person to bring a sacrifice. All we had to do was set a trap and catch a pigeon or a turtle dove if we were that poor. Right? Didn't matter if you had a pigeon or a turtle dove, whether you had a lamb, or whether you have a were real wealthy and could bring a bullock. It was proportioned on your means, your ability to bring the sacrifice. All had to bring one. Right? And so they brought that to the priest, and the priest would look at that animal and examine it to see that it was spotless, that it would be that great example to show of that one sacrifice that was spotless would eventually come. But those sacrifices, whatever they were, could not take away the sin. They merely covered over the sin until that one perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, whose blood would wash our sins away, cleanse us. Most of the Bible talks about cleansing us from all unrighteousness. That's key. It's one thing to be covered, It's quite another thing to be cleansed. Have it all washed away. That's why when some people trust Christ, they say, man, I feel a lot lighter. You don't have the weight of the world on you anymore. Right? You remember back on that time when you actually asked the Lord into your heart and life and you knew He'd forgiven you? That was a relief, wasn't it? A release of all those weight of those sins that you'd committed through life. Cleansing. That's what the Lord provides. But you see, all of us stood equally guilty before God. Universal guilt was there. All had sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. You see, God was looking down and examining mankind. He said, naturally, we don't seek God. Naturally, we don't look to Him and His ways. It's only by God coming into our life. Why God was interested in us, I just can't understand. But I know His Word's true. And I know that He loved us. Amen. In spite of us. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad that the Lord loved us? Amen. Even while we were yet sinners? Loved us enough to come and die for us because we needed a Savior. We were lost and none without hope. We had nowhere to turn to. But the Lord made the difference. He saw our need. He had compassion on us. And He was gracious to us. Verse 20, I'm going to skip down. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law, we have the knowledge that we have transgressed God's law. We've broken God's law. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ to all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. No difference. There's no difference in the fact of universal guilt. Doesn't matter what your background is, where you come from, what your nationality is. All humanity has sinned against God. It's rather interesting to me that Jesus encountered some individuals that thought that they were all right. For example, the rich young ruler came, didn't he? In fact, Jesus looked on him and he really liked the guy. That's the indication. But he made a mistake when he estimated his own righteousness. He said, all these laws have I kept from my youth up. He didn't grasp the magnitude of the law. He didn't understand all the law meant. Transgression of the law is not just the open, but the inside rebellion against God. You see, the transgression begins in here before it transacts out here in the open. See, God looks at the heart. God examines the heart. You see, that's our problem. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And only God can know them. That's the answer to that question. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the hearts. God knows, doesn't He? God knows our thoughts, our motives, our intents. God knows. And so there's no difference. All are guilty before God. Secondly, there is no difference in the offer of universal mercy. You see, God intends to extend His mercy to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Aren't you grateful for that? When I think about that, I think, man, God, I'm glad He loves me. Whosoever meaneth me. I like that song. I like songs that tell God's truth. Whosoever surely meaneth me. Surely meaneth me. Surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me. Whosoever meaneth me. And each one of us can sing that same song, can't we? Because God loves whoever calls upon Him. His mercy astounds me. In spite of who we are or what we've done or how we've neglected Him or affronted Him, His mercy is there for us. What a gracious Lord He is. Verse 24 through 26, it describes that being justified freely without a cost by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath before set to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. You see, there's no difference in the offer of universal mercy. For the Word of God clearly shows that whosoever will may come. In fact, God's Word closes with that thought in the book of Revelation. God doesn't want it left up to chance. He wants us to know that all, as many as desire salvation, can come. And so we read in His Word, in verse 17 of Revelation 22, says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that athirst come. And whosoever will..." Now, who does whosoever mean? You. Anybody that wants to. "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." You see, salvation through Jesus Christ had a great price. A great cost. The problem is, many of us think it ought to cost us something. Man, right? Isn't that usually the way man is? I've got to climb up these stairs on broken glass, or I've got to do some kind of other extraordinary thing to make myself merit salvation. Seems like that's the way our minds think. Until we finally come to the light and allow Jesus Christ and His Spirit to come into our hearts and lives and show us the truth. It's not us and our merit, it's His merit. It's His grace. His mercy is sufficient for all who will receive it. It's there for all. In fact, God's Word is very clear. In fact, I want to show you in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. This is not just something in the New Testament. This is something in the Old Testament as well. God's invitation of mercy stands for all who will receive it. Notice, and Isaiah 55 is about Messiah and His invitation to people. He says, "Ho, everyone," verse 1, "everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price." Now, He is not talking about ordinary wine and food supplies. This is a spiritual supply that He wants to meet in the lives. You see, we have a spiritual side to us that needs to be fed just as bad or worse than the physical. And if I don't feed that spiritual part, I'm thirsty. I'm hungering. Jesus says, "Come to me and I'll feed that spiritual man that you have inside of you. I'll supply its need. I'll help it to be increased in strength and grow." That's what God wants in each one of us. And so the Lord here is saying concerning His Messiah, come ye. And then in verse 6 of Isaiah 55. Says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, does he say in there, all you Jews that want mercy, come to me? Well, his invitation is to all, isn't it? Come ye, receive this mercy, receive this grace. It's there for you. Aren't you glad his word is there for you too?
Amen.
Now, if it was just there for the Jew, we might as well pack up and go home, right? Amen?
Amen.
I don't think there's too many of you of Jewish descent here this morning, right? You're hiding it pretty good, if you are, right? But God's salvation just came through the Jew. It wasn't for them alone. God shows back here in the Old Testament, his salvation is for all who will receive it. Come unto me, he says. That's what he says in the Old Testament. That's what he concludes the New Testament with. Come to me. Receive this salvation by grace, this universal mercy that I can extend to you and will extend. Come to me. You see, there's no difference in our guilt, but there's no difference in the offer of universal mercy. It's for all who will receive it. Thirdly, there's no difference in the means of universal justification. All have to be justified the same way. Look back to our text in Romans chapter number 3. And let's start in verse number 27 to the verse 30. 27, where is thy boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. How are we justified? By faith and faith alone. Faith alone. Read further. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Praise God. That includes us too. We can be justified by the same faith in the same God. Praise the Lord. Salvation's there for us too. Seeing it is, now notice this, verse 30. This brings it right down. See, it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. How are we justified? By faith and faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, God knows us all real good. He knows. If I had something I could brag about, I'd say, look at me, how wonderful I am. Amen? Man has that tendency, doesn't he? Look at my ability here. I'm so wonderful. Reminds me of some country western songs. I think Toby Keith had one, something, didn't he? He didn't want to talk about you. He wants to talk about me, 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 me. That's our problem, isn't it? It's all about me until we come to Jesus. Until we receive him in our heart and life. And our attitudes and our hearts change, don't they? We're rearranged. The Bible calls it we're now new creatures in Christ. And that's pretty true. We were previously pretty miserable, pretty much all about me, weren't we? But you know, when the more Jesus gets in there, the less it's about me and the more it's about others. Amen? And I'm sure glad when he comes in, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad when he shines out through me and you. Because that's when he's glorified. Because we know it's not us, it's him. He needs to get all the glory and all the praise. And all of us, if we're just before God, if we're right in God's sight, it's through faith in God and God alone. It's not anything we've done, but rather it's all of what he's done for us. Our job is simply letting him live through us in this life each and every day. And people, that's no small challenge, I realize. Living for the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. But you know what? We can do it. One day at a time. Trusting Jesus every day. Trusting him a long life's way. That's the only way we can give praise and glory to him. And point others in that narrow way that leads to glory hereafter. I praise the Lord for each one of you. I pray that each day you will live by faith and faith alone. Because that's the task God has set before us. May God help us to complete that task. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. For the reminder that any of us who are saved, it's because of our faith and trust in you and you alone. It's not anything that we can do, but rather it's all about what you've done for us. How you've given your life, you've shed your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to make us people that you can work in and through to give glory to yourself. God, help us to show forth to the world that they too can receive that same blessing in their life, the blessing of having faith in you and a salvation that's full and complete. Help us and guide us this morning to be sure of that fact. We ask this in Christ's name.
478.
478 is the closing hymn this morning. God has spoken to you this morning about your faith, or maybe you don't have that faith that you need in Jesus Christ. Today could be that day. In fact, the Word of God says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you could trust Christ as your Savior and know that assurance that he can give to you. You come as we sing. If you need to this morning, we'd love to pray with you, encourage you in those decisions. Come as we sing.
Have you any room for Jesus?
Father, we thank you for your invitation through your Son to come to you. Lord, we just pray that we would never take that lightly. Lord, that we would remember that you are there for us if we simply come to you. God, help us each day to come before your presence and seek your help and your guidance, your direction for our lives. I pray that you'll go before us now and prepare the way for us. God, that you'll bless this people. Help us, Lord, to draw close to you, that our faith might grow in you day by day. We ask and pray this in Christ's name.